Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This kind of identifies with something that is in the news even now, Joe.
Yes, it does, Ray. This has to do with last week's plane crash at Bradley and the PFAS risk of foam being in the Farmington River or the Rainbow Brook as a result of the fire suppression from the crash. We're talking with Brian Toll, who's the interim head of environmental health at DPH. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Brian.
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
So this takes place last week. We're concerned about it. Where do we stand now as far as the cleanup is concerned?
Well, the cleanup after the crash is pretty much ongoing, and I'd say fairly far along. Most of the foam went into a nearby small brook, Rainbow Brook, and most of that, the foam was, or a good portion of the foam was able to be captured and trapped. And at this point, no visible foam has made it all the way down the brook as far as the Farmington River, but there are testing of the water going on to try to determine if any of the foam did make it to the Farmington River and what else needs to be done. But a lot of the cleanup has been completed.
Brian, as I understand, PFAS is essentially, is it a flame retardant? Is that kind of what it is?
Well, in the firefighting foam, it's a flame retardant. It's very good at putting out petroleum fires. But PFAS as a class of chemicals, and there are almost 4,000 of them, are used everywhere in our modern society. They are found in food packaging. They are found in fabric coatings. They are found in your Gore-Tex jackets. And so they're pretty ubiquitous. And the big concern is that in some instances, it's gotten into our groundwater and has contaminated drinking water in some locations. But 99% of the United States population has measurable levels of PFAS in their blood.
Have people seen evidence of PFAS in the Farmington River since the crash?
Well, there was. It just so happens that there was a spill of firefighting foam back in June.
Right.
That went directly to the river. So there were measured pretty high levels of PFAS in the river to begin with, and we have a do not eat advisory for fish in the river.
Right. Yeah.
But that's from the previous spill. At this point, no testing from the plane crash has come back yet for us to determine whether or not foam from the crash made it to the river. But there was already PFAS there to begin with from the previous spill.
Brian Toll, by the way, interim head of the environmental health at DPH. Brian, let's talk about just a little bit. We're all walking chemical sets, to be perfectly honest. I mean, as you mentioned, somewhere, if you do a blood test on me, there's PFAS somewhere. A million other things. What are the effects of it? I mean, in other words, is it bad when it's inhaled? Is it bad when it's eaten? How does it affect you? And if so, what does it do?
Yeah, PFAS turns out to be a fairly toxic chemical. We have action levels of standard that are very, very low. But most of the effects are chronic, long-term. Nobody's going to get a health effect right away. Mm-hmm. It's not an immediate acute toxin. But in long-term studies in animals and humans, it has been shown to affect the immune system. Almost most importantly, it's affected the development of the fetus. Mm-hmm. Low birth weight and possible intelligent quotient effects. It can increase cholesterol. Can have effects on the thyroid, and it has been linked to two different types of cancer. Although it's not proven to be a carcinogen, it has been associated with cancer of the kidney and testes.
So what's the next step now? The cleanup continues. Where do we go from here?
Well, the cleanup of the area around the Farmington River will continue, although to some extent cleanup is difficult because the chemical is actually in solution in the water. So hopefully the water will flush down and flush out. It's unclear whether or not it will actually be in the sediments where somebody could go and dig it up. More than likely, it's going to be in the water, and it's going to go downstream with the water. So relative to the plane crash, that should be over and done with. But the bigger picture is, and the governor just formed a task force on PFAS, and we delivered a plan to him just last week, October 1st. We need to be looking all over the state, because besides these spills at Bradley Airport, there are likely many other locations in Connecticut near landfills, near firefighting training facilities, and other places where we need to be looking for PFAS, and especially looking at PFAS in groundwater that is going to be used for drinking water.
Yeah. Brian, and of course, as it goes further down the river, it eventually dilutes somewhat. So I guess the question is, what is the threshold for those bad effects that you were talking about? Is it cumulative? Is it immediate? What happens?
You say, what's the threshold for these adverse effects?
Right. The dose makes the poison, as somebody once said.
Yeah. So at least in drinking water, we have some pretty well documented action levels. We don't have standards yet. We have set a number where we believe if you're below this number, you're not going to have an adverse effect.
Yes.
That number is 70 parts per trillion
for
a combination of five of the most common PFAS chemicals. And I emphasize parts per trillion.
Yeah.
That's a very low number. Most of
That's
our drinking water action levels and standards are in parts per billion, parts per million. So thousands of times higher. So the federal government has a similar action level for PFAS in drinking water, and many other states around us have adopted lower numbers based upon the latest toxicity studies on the chemicals.
Jeez.
So this is something that people just have to keep an eye on and be aware of and be vigilant about.
Yeah, well, and hopefully the government will help protect the people, The state of Connecticut is going to be looking at sites where there might be contamination and there might be drinking water contamination.
Okay.
And we will take care of that. However, citizens can take action themselves. Actually, I'm heading to a press conference this morning with Congressman Rosa DeLauro, where she's going to be focusing on PFAS in food packaging.
Okay.
Believe it or not, there are 50 or 60 different kinds of PFAS chemicals that are allowed to be in food packaging.
All right.
So people can try to look for food packaging that don't have these PFAS chemicals.
Yeah.
Also, consumer products around the house, you can try to buy carpeting and furniture that are not coated with fluorinated chemicals.
Okay.
Anything that says stain resistant is likely to be a PFAS-containing product.
Okay.
So there are things that people can do in their daily life to try to decrease exposure.
All right.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for informing us on that. Brian Toland, interim head of environmental health at the DPH, about the PFAS scare.
I never heard about this stuff until...
No, I never knew about it until... Right.
After that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.